The scripture for today is from Proverbs 8:1-4 and 22-35. Does not wisdom call and understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand, besides the gate that's in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals she cries out, to you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all who live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, playing before him always, playing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. And now, my children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways, hear instructions and be wise and do not neglect it. Happy is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Blessings, Betsy, as you share the word.
It is so nice to be back here. It's been 16 years, I think, since I stood here at this pulpit. I was I served as an intern. That's what I was, a seminary intern for 1 year here at Glennon Heights. Bruce and I both loved being part of this congregation, and he's very sorry not to be here with us today. Like Merle said, he was tested positive for COVID. He's not feeling too bad, like a bad cold. But fortunately, I tested negative, so I'm here wearing a mask when I have to be around you, but I'm here, and I'm grateful for that. Unfortunately, I won't be able to join for the meal afterwards. We were both looking forward to this, and we are sorry, but that's the way it goes. It's so lovely to be back here again. Let's pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Well, last Sunday, we as the larger church celebrated Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit fell like tongues of fire upon the worshipers in Jerusalem, and with great rejoicing, the church was born. Today, the first Sunday after Pentecost, seems like a good day for us to become more deeply acquainted with this animated, life-giving, God-revealing Spirit. Where should we begin? Well, let's start in Istanbul, Turkey. Istanbul is the home of the Hagia Sophia, one of the largest and oldest church buildings in the world. In 2013, Bruce and I had the wonderful privilege of visiting this ancient building as part of a tour we took to Turkey and Greece. It's a building that has gone through many iterations and is currently a museum. However, back in the year 360, way back, this original church was dedicated to the Logos, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Its dedication feast took place on Christmas, the anniversary of the birth of the incarnation of the Logos in Christ. Although it is sometimes spoken of as Sancta Sophia, as though it were named after Saint Sophia, the word Sophia is the phonetic spelling in Latin of the Greek word for wisdom. The full name of the Hagia Sophia in Greek is the Shrine of the Holy Wisdom of God. Now, following our visit to the Hagia Sophia, Tom Yoder Neufeld, who was the biblical scholar who was one of the tour leaders, talked to us about wisdom. "We don't talk about her much as Mennonites," he said, "and that is our loss. By not learning to know her, we are missing out on much beauty and imagination. We are limiting our understanding of God and the Holy Spirit. And we are limiting our understanding of how the people who wrote the stories and letters that make up the New Testament thought, how they thought, and what images were meaningful to them." Well, if you've been paying attention, you may have already noticed one connection. The Shrine of the Holy Wisdom of God, the Hagia Sophia, was dedicated to the Logos, which is the Greek word which means word. We find reference to this word at the beginning of the Gospel of John. "In the beginning was the Word," or Logos, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people." Compare that passage of John 1 to our Proverbs passage for today. In Proverbs 8, it's wisdom who is speaking. "The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts long ago. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race." Logos and Sophia, word and wisdom. Tom Yoder Neufeld explained to our tour group that the people of New Testament times had access to scripture that most of us no longer pay attention to. In addition to the texts that we know about, their sacred texts included the writings of what make up what we now call the Apocrypha. These books of the Apocrypha aren't included in most of the Bibles that we use, but I have them in the Bible that I use for study. In that Bible, the books of the Apocrypha are placed between the Old and New Testaments, which is when they were written and read. These books of the Apocrypha were included in the ancient Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, and they were also part of the first Latin translation of the Bible. They are still used by Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox and some other Christian groups. As Protestants came into being, however, these books were dropped from our canon, which is why we have very little knowledge of them today. The word Apocrypha means hidden things, which pretty well sums it up for most of us, as far as that's concerned. But that's our loss, Tom Yoder Neufeld told us. These books of the Apocrypha were written in the centuries after the Old Testament, and they were being read in the time before Jesus was born. They helped shape the thinking of that time. They had a strong influence on the people who knew Jesus and told his story. These writings helped them make sense of and articulate the amazing things that were being revealed to them in Jesus. So today, we're going to take a look at a passage from the Apocrypha. It's a passage from a book called The Wisdom of Solomon. It's a sister passage to the one we read this morning from Proverbs 8. And like that passage, it is a description of wisdom, which is beautiful to read and hear. So we're going to look together at this poem, this Ode to Wisdom, from The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7. For wisdom, the fashioner of all things taught me. There is in her a spirit that is intelligent, holy, unique, manifold, subtle, mobile, clear, unpolluted, distinct, invulnerable, loving the good, keen, irresistible, beneficent, humane, steadfast, sure, free from anxiety, all-powerful, overseeing all, and penetrating through all spirits that are intelligent, pure, and altogether subtle. For wisdom is more mobile than any motion. Because of her pureness, she pervades and penetrates all things. For she is a breath of the power of God and a pure emanation of the glory of the Almighty. Therefore, nothing defiled gains entrance into her. For she is a reflection of eternal life, a spotless mirror of the working of God, and an image of his goodness. Although she is but one, she can do all things, and while remaining in herself, she renews all things. In every generation, she passes into holy souls and makes them friends of God and prophets. For God loves nothing so much as the person who lives with wisdom. Well, that's a lot of words. We need to unpack this. One of the great challenges we face as believers is describing God. And this can be problematic. There's no way to do it definitively because God is so different from us. In order to talk about God, we have to use similes and metaphors. God is like this, or God is that. Though we know that the realm of God's, but you know, that isn't even sufficient. We know that the realm of God's being supersedes human emotion and an anatomy, but we can only describe God, the indescribable God, in the language we know, even though we know as we are doing it that our language is inadequate. Still, we probe and pray and dig deeper, believing that a more intimate acquaintance with God is possible. Sometimes old words and images become new for us and open up our understanding. Well, this is the role of poetry. The description of the person of wisdom, God's wisdom, in Proverbs and the wisdom of Solomon is like that. It is one way of broadening our understanding of who God is. Well, let's take a closer look at the passage from the Wisdom of Solomon. What does it come on? Didn't come on, did it? What do I do? What does it tell us about the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God? Well, it presents us with a very long list of qualities. And there are 21 qualities in all. Three groups of seven, which is the biblical, seven is the biblical symbol of perfection, of wholeness. These 21 qualities are a perfect description of God. So let's read again the list of qualities of God's wisdom. And as we read it, notice one or two qualities that particularly stand out for you and reflect on how they describe the Spirit of God. There is in wisdom a spirit that is intelligent, holy, unique, manifold, subtle, mobile, clear, unpolluted, distinct, invulnerable, loving the good, keen, irresistible, beneficent, humane, steadfast, sure, free from anxiety, all-powerful, overseeing all, and penetrating through all spirits that are intelligent, pure and altogether subtle. In verses 25 and 26, there are five metaphors which link wisdom to God. Metaphor number one, she is a breath of the holy power of God. The translation that Tom used called her the warm breath of God's power. The power of God comes through wisdom to us as warm breath, enlivening and inspiring us. What a wonderful image. Metaphor two, wisdom is the pure emanation of the glory of the Almighty. That means, in other words, she is born out of God's glory and shows us what that glory really means. The glory of God is beyond our knowing, except when we see it revealed. We see it revealed in what is pure and right, in what is free of corruption, selfishness, evil, greed, or pettiness. I think this one will come. All right. So this is metaphors three and four. Wisdom is a reflection of eternal life and a spotless mirror of the working of God. It is via wisdom that we are able to see God. It's like Moses going up to Mount Sinai to talk to God. When he came back down, his face was shining so brightly that people had a hard time looking at it. But through him and in him, they could see God's light. Wisdom, like Moses, helps us look at God's light. Like a mirror, she reflects God's light to us. She makes it possible for us to see what God's work is all about. And then there's also in that one, the metaphor number five, wisdom is an image of God's goodness. She is God's constant life-giving work among us. She is God's activity in the cosmos and in humanity, activity that is constantly renewing the earth and restoring human beings. This work brings God great delight. In the ancient Near East, which is the area we visited on that tour, building projects, especially cities and palaces and temples, were a source of delight, both in the making and in their completion. People gained honor by donating funds for these projects and making them possible. When they were finished, there was great feasting and partying. This is rather like the ongoing work of wisdom in the cosmos. God delights in wisdom's active and constructive role in creation. And wisdom delights in the world of human culture. Wisdom teaches us that creating is a wonderful process and that the conclusion of creation is delight. This is an image of the goodness of God. My favorite perverse of this passage is verse 27. Although she is but one, she can do all things, and while remaining in herself, she renews all things. In every generation, she passes into holy souls and makes them friends of God and prophets. In every generation, wisdom passes into holy souls and makes them friends of God and prophets. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? The wisdom of God, God's Holy Spirit, enters into us and makes us friends of God and prophets. This is not something we do ourselves. It's God's work, and it happens in every generation. It will not end. This is something I find incredibly hopeful. In his letters, Paul reminds us over and over that we are already chosen by God. We are already acceptable to God. The wisdom of God has entered into us, and we have become friends of God and prophets. When Jesus appeared, the folks of his day had to figure him out. As they watched who he was and how he taught and acted, they were reminded of something they already knew, and they started making connections. Through their sacred writings, they had learned how God is deeply engaged with humanity through the person of wisdom. Jesus seemed to be living this out in the flesh. As they engaged their hearts and minds and reflected deeply on who Jesus was, they came to understand with great joy that Jesus, the Christ, is the incarnation of God's wisdom. He completes the revelation, Sophia and Logos, wisdom and word. As Jesus was preparing for his departure, he told his disciples, "The wisdom of God will be with you when I'm gone. The Spirit of truth, the Advocate, will come," he assured them. And it was true. The Spirit of God descended on those worshipers in Jerusalem with tongues of fire. This God-revealing Spirit sent them out into the world with a life-changing message of hope and salvation. The ancient God-revealing Spirit of wisdom guided the first apostles and continues to work in our lives today. Praise be to God. Let's end this morning by hearing again the beautiful words of Proverbs 8. I want you to just sit back and listen. Let these words call out to you and draw you in. Wisdom is speaking. "When God established the earth, I was there. When he made a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea to its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. And now, my children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Happy is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." The Holy Spirit, who was promised and who fell upon the believers at Pentecost, is the same Spirit who has been with God from the beginning. She is the wisdom of God, God's delight, and we too are God's delight. Believe this, for it is true. The wisdom of God has entered into our souls and made us friends of God. This has already happened. Now go and live fully and creatively into God's wisdom as followers of Jesus, the one who made it all real. For God loves nothing so much as the person who lives with wisdom. Amen.